Hello, Scorpio, and welcome to Reckoning for the Faithful, your 2025 spring reading from Planet Waves. I'm Eric Francis Coppolino, your astrologer, here with an assessment of your solar chart, focusing in on the spring of 2025. This reading picks up in certain respects where the Awakening, the 2025 annual written and audio, left off, although really what I'm planning to do is to go deeper into this one very unusual time frame that we are in right now. And one of the things that makes this time frame unusual is the fact of both Venus and Mercury retrograde. And then in addition, we have sign changes of outer planets happening nearly simultaneously. That would be Saturn and Neptune. Then later in the year, Uranus changes signs. And then what's left? Venus, Mercury, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, all dancing around, going through many, many sign changes at the same time as two major conjunctions are taking place and a total solar eclipse preceded by a forthcoming total lunar eclipse. This is one heck of a spring. This is Shooting the Rapids. We are here shooting the rapids. So my intent here, I've already got your chart up on the screen, wasn't planning on having it there, but you know all about it. You may have seen it before. Is what's up with this environment? Like, what environment? By I mean like this scenario we all suddenly find ourselves into. What is really going on with this thing that is trying to turn the human soul into the like world's biggest supercomputer? Like, what's the story there? And what is the effect this is having on us? Because it is changing all of us, whether we realize it or not. Pardon me while I fidget around with my environment here, my personal environment here. One second. It's like suddenly, as it gets dimmer outside, the lights start to seem very bright. And remember, I'm a guy who could just sit and talk into this thing, and I don't need all this video stuff. But here we are. Speaking of, the astounding concentration of energies that is coming, which looks a little bit like this. You know, normally the planets are fairly evenly distributed. They can form little groups and clusters, but usually they are, you know, they look a little bit more like this. Well, by 2026, by early 2026, the sky is going to look like this, and all of this energy is going to be packed into here and here. A few other things are going on. There's some actors, you know, moving around out in this region. Pluto, of course, is moving, you know, toward the bottom of your solar chart. But really, the thing I am looking at is this concentration of factors in Pisces and Aries, which basically is already underway. And, you know, when there's massive astrological movement, and this really, the truth is, this all started last April with the solar eclipse that cut across the country, United States, last April. And that affected everyone everywhere in the world, and now we are we're seeing the kinds of effects that the behavior of the United States could have on the entire global community, in the form of, you know, Elon Musk with his chainsaw. This is complete theater, by the way. This is absolutely meaningless in any policy standpoint, except for the next stage of the digital revolution. And this is what we are in, wave after wave of the digital revolution. And the last big one most people didn't even realize was the digital revolution. And I wouldn't be surprised if some people may be watching, maybe not watching, probably not, or are still angry at me for, you know, asking all the right questions in 2020. But at the end of the day, 2020 was a digital ascension. Basically, borrowing a term from Ross Perot, a great big sucking sound everything was vacuumed up to the astral plane. The astral plane being where we are hanging out right now. It's bad to drink water on video, but I had my lunch came with way too much pokey sauce. Okay, so the reason this is about you, what there's like you've got a big piece of this action. The reason this is about you is because of the placement of Aries in your chart. Your fellow cousin Mars ruled sign. Two signs are ruled by Mars with a distant cousin known as Capricorn. So if you're wondering what Aries, Scorpio, and Capricorn have in common, it's the Mars connection. But Aries is really big. And I think, you know, in my... You know, I'm kind of a Scorpiologist. You know, I really try to like really understand you Scorpio people who people don't seem to understand. There's people who have no use for astrology except, oh my God, Scorpios freak them out. I think that Scorpio is partly why astrology is so, like, people are like iffy about taboo. So iffy about like the, they think astrology is kind of taboo, and that's got something to do with, you know, Scorpio, sex and death are middle names. The placement of Aries in your solar chart, which is the chart for your sign, it's the map of the sign, and it's quite a powerful map of the individual also. When it's read in such a way that is homely, brings it home. So one of the places your solar chart comes home is in Aries. And one of the to some extent everyone's chart comes home to Aries, but Aries is in a different place, one of 12 or some blend for everyone. And where Aries is for you is the work you do every day. Now, I wish if I could have like two wishes. One of them would be that people's work would be more meaningful to them. That they get on the train in the morning, or they get on the bus, or they get in the car, or they brush their teeth and sit down in their home office. That their work would be more meaningful. You don't really have a choice in that. You may attempt to do work that is not meaningful. You may attempt to go to work every day for something that doesn't really, really light you up, that doesn't really genuinely give you a sense of who you are at your most beautiful, your most powerful, your most influential, your most creative. But you have to do this. And the whole story of this is about your bringing your creative mojo into your work environment. You're expressing who and what you actually are. Now, I know I've read Wilhelm Reich, and I've read the other philosophers who have made it clear the ways in which our curiosity is anesthetized as a child to make us easier to manage, and then we're drowned in religious concepts that are absolutely, completely fucking horse shit. Original sin? Give me a fucking break. But we are drowning in this stuff. We are overwhelmed by it, and more than that, it kind of eats us from the inside. But you must, for the sake of the universe, on behalf, here, I'll put my halo up. On behalf of the universe, I am saying, you're Scorpio, where you go to work has to matter. You have to make a difference. You have to be able to grow. You have to have meaningful relationships. You have to have challenges. There has to be an element of the beauty of doing things for their own sake. Like you forget when payday is. May we all have work where we forget when payday is. But it's not easy. It's not easy to get into this space because of all of the quarterization that's happened to us, all the limitations that have been placed on us, all of the bullshit that is heaped on us to no end. It's hard to get into a place where work is meaningful. But you now have a lot of help. You have a lot of support. And you will not need to bring all of your own confidence. There's going to be an extent to which events will move you along in the sense of many great accomplishments. The people who did them, if they knew what they were getting into at the time that they started doing them, they absolutely would have not done it. They would have said, no, thank you. Oh, I've got a little room on my credit card. I think I'm going to Miami for a week. But instead, they wind up getting involved in a series of events. It may be some professional matter. It may be some civic matter. It's a lot of possibilities. A personal situation, a thing where they don't necessarily feel like they have a choice. And then they are transformed by this. They are they find opportunities and challenges that they rise to, and they figure out that the person they're becoming through the process of this adventure in life is the person they wanted to become. That's really what I'm talking about here. And we'll get into where this meets this, but you could say this is like a lot of stuff. But let's, before we get into the Aries, I think there are very few signs for whom the presence of the Pisces aspect of this chart is so incredible. So we've pulled this frame in up here, this chart frame. So what I'm getting at is that you see this the fifth, sixth house cusp here kind of continues through. Well, I'm just going to take this. See, it's like, oh, nice there. See, that's it. That's what it looks like. But you can't see it, so I'm just going to bring this in a little bit closer. And so here's the fifth, Pisces. Here's the 11th, Virgo. Now, let's just change that a little bit. Okay, so now you're really reading astrology here, and I'm going to continue to walk you through it. So the sixth house is the workspace. Sixth house is the workspace. It is where you show up and you are productive. It's where you show up and you perform your service. The fifth is the art studio. And for Scorpio, you have the world's best fifth house. A lot of possibilities what could be in the fifth house. The planets matter. I don't know. Libra's pretty good. But I think if I was going to pick any place in my chart to have the fifth house, I would pick Pisces. I happen to be Cancer rising. I have Scorpio as my fifth house. That's not bad. It's a little intense, but so am I. So you have Pisces in the fifth house, and this loves to indulge pleasure and beauty. As Bob Dylan said, I like my sugar sweet. You could write that on your mirror. Can I have any tart sugar? If you're going to have sugar, if you're going to have some maple syrup, it better damn well be sweet maple syrup. And that's the nature of the fifth house with Pisces in it. So the house represents a kind of a category of experience, and then the sign represents the style in which that occurs. So our friends the Virgos have Capricorn on the fifth house. That's a little dull. Virgos need help, kind of having fun, and they were given too much responsibility as a child. That's basically if you want to have to sum up Virgo in one sentence, and that's an expression of Capricorn on the fifth. But you have Pisces on the fifth, and Pisces, well, it's a bit escapist. It wants to play. It wants to create. It wants all kinds of good sex, not just the couple of kinds of good sex. It wants to try every kind of good sex, and it likes to party. It likes to get down and have a good time, and it is quite an art studio. In fact, it's an art studio as good as this Pisces art studio that surrounds me all over the place, where, you know, there's electric guitar set up, print shop, library everywhere, keyboard. That's kind of what your fifth house art studio should look like, is a place where you can play. And so to whatever extent you have creative leadings, well, get going, get busy, tune the guitar or get new strings put on it, and furthermore, dust off your paints and see if they're still squeezable out of the tube, and start to have some fun. And that also means having fun with passion, having fun with yourself and other people. Anything of a Pisces nature has to act like a Pisces. Like you can't be, there'd be no more miserable person than a teetotaling Pisces. You have this quality in your fifth house of creation, self-creation, pleasure, play, your art studio. So you have this absolutely magnificently indulgent side of your nature. You do it. You've got to do it. But here's what's going on. Planets are making their way from Pisces into Aries. And so things are going to remain, and this is going on in the spring of 2026. So there's going to be a lot of Pisces to feed your habits and your vices, and to put all the sugar you want in your cappuccino. This is closer to now. This is the spring equinox of 2025. You can see the sun is right there at 0000. Aries and Venus and Mercury are there. And so what the quick summary version of what's going on in your chart is that I don't have the Venus retrograde in here, but there's a Venus retrograde here. So it's like going back and forth between there. And then by some strange coincidence, there's also a Mercury retrograde going on right at the same time. And the Mercury retrograde going back and forth over what's called the Aries point, this another one of these, one of the most powerful portals into and out of individual experience, is the first degree Aries. And there is a lot of activity on, not only in Pisces and Aries, but on the first degree of Aries. Excuse me, that's in the form of Venus and Mercury going back over the first degree of Aries, followed by Neptune going back and forth over the first degree of Aries, followed by Saturn going back and forth over the first degree of Aries. This is saying not only are you being called to be to like your sugar sweet, and to like your paints squishy, and to like your sex hot, cool, or medium, wherever the fuck suits you, but to bring this into the space of daily activity, to bring it into the space of some form of committed work that you do every day. And so the best way to I think the best way to be an artist is you have an art project you need to do. I don't know, for me, one of the best ways to get me into music is to, I give myself an assignment. I've got to write a piece of music for the introduction to this project I'm doing for anything else. And so you want to give yourself projects to do that engage your creativity, and then start to find ways to bring your creativity into every last thing that you do, and every way that you express yourself, to turn it into basically into an art project. And this is part of recognizing that it is very much your dharma to live a complete experience of yourself. How does that work? To live a complete experience of yourself throughout your life. So there are, you might say that there are tricks to this. Some of the tricks involve decisions that you make. And so at a certain point, you may realize, well, working in Chanel in Las Vegas for the past 10 years, I may have paid the bills, but oh God, I'm getting sick of these people. I'm getting sick of these people and their $10,000 pairs of shoes for a seven-year-old. Would someone please explain that to me? So there are decisions implied, particularly by the ingress of Saturn into your sixth house, Saturn into Aries. The thing to bear in mind is that the timing is likely to stretch out over approximately the next 11 months for these purposes, maybe longer. Because what I'm looking at is the conjunction of where basically Neptune and Saturn form their one and only full conjunction upon this thing, this wild thing in astrology known as the Aries point, which is the imaginary line between Aries and Pisces. And there's a lot of mojo in this line, a lot of mojo to spur world events, which we are seeing in action, but in the individual life, it is a profound sense of connection to the state of the world. In other words, you are very much part of the world that you are living in, and you're going to feel like you're part of the world that you're living in. And I recognize that that this can be overwhelming, and that it can be especially overwhelming if we really get hip to the fact that that Aries is the digital crime scene where they're trying to steal our souls and our intellect, our curiosity, our desire to solve problems, our ability to solve problems, our autonomy over the decisions we make, the wrestling with the ethics and the morality and like having a conscience and all of this stuff. When you see the letters AI together thrown around, bandied about, sold as a product, what you're really talking about is the automation of the human soul, essentially. And what you're doing in the sixth house, with all of your might, with all of your desire, with all of your spiritual presence, with all of your sense of the meaning of anything, is finding your soul, integrating your soul with what you think of as yourself, learning to be you. So if you have to go to work in a place where you really can't learn to be you, where you're tolerating people, where there's no fun, where there's no real challenges, you're going to have opportunities to find other work to do. They will be there. They'll be there. Sure as Lord made little green apples, because the planets are coming. The transits are coming. Venus and Mercury warming up the territory, saying, look what's possible. There are possibilities. You can be doing things that really are meaningful to you. You can, and if meaning to you means you want your service to matter, you want your service to matter. You're sick of selling insurance. You really want your service to the world to make a difference to human beings you can see, feel, and experience. Ah, well, there you go. Because the sixth house is about service, and the plums are being dangled right now. The plums in the form of Venus and Mercury coming out of they're like emerging from the deep sea of Pisces in the fifth house, where you like your sugar sweet and you like your purple purple and your green green, back and forth, kind of infusing and impregnating the sixth house with the creative spirit of Venus and Mercury so recently in Pisces, and so soon to be back in Pisces, and so soon to be back in Aries. It's almost as if the I don't have a What have I got? What else have I got here to write with? Nothing quite what I want. My fancy pens that work like paintbrushes, really what I want. But let's just you know, like, say that instead of there being a fine line between Aries and Pisces, what's going on is a kind of a blurring of the line between Pisces and Aries, where the art studio starts to merge with the work office, and where the creative process starts to merge with the productive process, where the ideas of Pisces and the fifth house become the fully expressed activities of Aries in the sixth house. And Landron, trust me, that's pretty gosh darn innovative to have your Pisces located in your fifth, in your art studio, right exactly where it belongs, and then to have your work and your service associated with Aries in the sixth place, right exactly where it belongs, where you get to express yourself in these ways. All right, now that we've done a fine job scribbling on this chart, let's talk about the things that are happening imminently. Maybe that will give you. And by the way, I'm saying all of this not because you paid me $35, whatever, $45, but I'm saying it because I'm giving you ideas that you may not be able to rationally ascribe if you read the transcript of something. Say he said that there. Well, there's a great extent to which hearing astrology read to you is a little like reading a chart. There's something of an amorphous quality to it that then starts to take form in the way of ideas that you are that are being planted in your mind and are working on a kind of a subliminal level. And there may be something that I didn't even intend to mean or intend to say that becomes meaningful and grows into something that you can really work with and really that is beautiful and that you actually can call your own, that you know will be original and you know will be about you. Okay, so a couple of technical details now that I've told you what I think how astrology on this level works. The Aries point, let's make it in a slightly less ostentatious color, and we will draw it right clear through. Nice Pisces color, pink. But I chose to wear a black shirt and a black vest for you because I thought you might like it. So, mucho activity between Pisces and Aries. The activity includes this dance of Venus and Mercury, where Venus and Mercury will be getting it on with Neptune and Saturn, because when these guys retrograde back, Saturn and Neptune are moving forward, and so there's going to be a lot of conjunctions. A lot of conjunctions means a lot of meetings. It means a lot of encounters. Pay attention in these encounters. Pay attention to people particularly who are engaged and involved in and love their work, whether it is creative work or whether it's any other form of work. They love what they do and or they do what they love. One or the other, they amount to the same thing. Kind of during and after that's all happening, Saturn and Neptune move into Aries, and they form a conjunction that will be dancing around until February, until about 11 months from now. They'll be dancing around. Okay. That initiates a kind of a long-term process. Next. And by the way, there are only four times in the history of humanity by which I mean 1 BC. So more recently than that painting was made 17,000 years ago. Only four times have Saturn and Neptune met in Aries since 1 BC. The next thing happening is that Chiron and Eris are forming a conjunction. This conjunction happened right around there in 1971 and 1972, because that's where Eris was, right around there. Chiron came through town, and then Approximately however many years later, Eris gone out that far, and Chiron came along, made another conjunction to it in Aries. They happen in pairs in Aries, and the last pair that happened in Aries happened in approximately 1439 and 1489, a long time ago, more than 500 years ago. So this, too, is exceptionally rare on a five-century scale. This is why I'm jumping up and down about this astrology. This is why it is so, like, real and meaningful to me, and perfectly necessary that we understand what this astrology is about and do the most we can possibly do with it. The most we can possibly do with it, which for me means writing something down in my notebook and a pencil to get the pencil open. All right. So what is happening here is, I think, an awakening from the delusion of the digital environment. I do not mean to be too much of an alarmist here, and there's a lot of people who wouldn't agree with me and tell me to fuck off, and 5G is great, and AI is a wonderful, beautiful thing, but I'm telling you that there's a problem. I've been watching this problem develop since the 1990s. I've been watching the power of the technology evolve faster than anyone can use it responsibly, particularly the more power that they have. I mean, it, at least for me and for probably you, my microphones and cameras are paintbrushes. But for most businesses, their microphones and their cameras and their databases and their computer terminals and the people who operate them and their AI transcripts are ways to enforce the making of profits and to control every facet of human behavior that can possibly be controlled. And they think that they're going to be diagnosing things, and then the robots are going to operate on people. And they're like, there's a lot of people trying to live out their version of a science fiction scenario. In the most human realm, one of the things that this science fiction scenario has done, which I have only ever seen treated in the Star Trek Next Generation episode about the Borg. Whoever wrote the episode about the Borg should be congratulated for their foresight. And to say the Borg means resistance is futile means the person didn't watch to the end of the episode. It'll probably set you back $3 on Amazon. I'm not sure which one it is, but it's the Star Trek episode about the Borg. What is going on right now is the Borg. We are being, and have been being, particularly since the era of radio, turned into tribal zombies. Now, people were not bright. There were a lot of dumbasses, a lot of gullible fools. Sucker born every minute, as was said in the 19th century, okay. But we were already in the age of electricity in the 19th century, especially the second half of the 19th century. And the hypnosis factor has increased in the form of the unraveling of individuality. Another way to say that is the complete disappearance of the concept of the reality of and the experience of privacy, 99%. The problem with privacy is not so much that it's not available. I'm going to try to drink this and not choke. Hold on. How much pokey sauce was in that stuff? I eat there like every other day, and suddenly I like feel like I've come back from the Sahara. People were susceptible to this a lot, but while they were doing that, there was a lot of Renaissance thinking and real flourishing of the individual creative spirit that could influence people in individual ways. And I mean, by the way, I mean, I have this artwork, and let me turn the camera slightly so you can see the whole thing. So this is these are wild horses that were drawn by some people 17,000 years ago. This is the first actual record of the existence of the human race. And there's hundreds of these paintings. This is one of the more famous ones. But try to imagine the transition into self-awareness that those people, whoever they were going through to get them to the point where they would make a representation of the world they lived in on the wall of a cave. Was this some kind of a religious shrine? Was it just a thing to do? Was it did someone just figure out that they could do this, and other people said, "Wow, that's cool. You should do that." Maybe nobody even knew what was going on. We have no freaking way to know. And they don't depict any people in these paintings. I've never seen a picture of a painting come out of the Lascaux cave, a painting of a human being come out of Lascaux. What you see are images of Horus, i.e. the Birdman, who appears that I know of three times in the recorded history, this being the earliest, because this predates ancient Egypt by at least 10,000 years. So imagine the birth of self-awareness that it would require to make paint and paintbrushes and to show the future, what your world looks like. This is you. This is about you. This is a metaphor for you. And we currently now live in these very dark, primal, tribal times. And to me, these images are the first evidence of human individuation. Of human individuation, of self-becoming, of self-awareness, of environmental awareness, of situational awareness. And they painted the beautiful creatures that were running around the environment, and they showed a lot of the critters they ate, and the floors were littered with all kinds of carvings. This is not merely a paint job. So try to conceive of, you know, for example, out of the like the primordial ooze of consciousness, some very aware people waking up and saying, "Let's show our world to ourselves. Let's make a picture of our world so that we can see our world." And then little did they know that 17,000 years later, a tree was going to fall over. This is near Bordeaux. A tree was going to fall over and uproot a piece of earth where the crust between the earth and the cave was very thin. And then one day, a dog named Robot, I kid you not, a dog named Robot found the opening. And some kids went down there with handmade lanterns approximately in 1940 and found this massive labyrinthine, essentially art gallery under the ground. Imagine the consciousness required to make that art gallery. Imagine that transition. You are at that stage right now of going from this kind of collective tribal state where that you're immersed in the beauty of existence and all of that, and then suddenly you wake up and you are you. You are the you that only you is you, and you absolutely know that with every fucking cell in your body, and not everyone gets to have that experience on this planet. And some of you listening will not have it, and some of you listening will absolutely have that experience of knowing that you are you, the one and only, absolutely distinct, never to happen again, you. And we see that in this somewhat shocking burst of awakening, the awakening aspect, taking place in Aries, the Chiron conjunction to Eris. Another example of the tribal morass, of the tribal chaotic morass of Eris. And the focused, the hotly focused individual internal awareness, the focusing power of Chiron saying, ah, look at what's been going on. Look at what's been done to us. Look at what's been done to me. You start to account for what's been taken away from you. You would cry, but you may realize, okay, it's been taken away. At least I'm left with the awareness that something's been lost. Something's been taken away. Something about me is not the same as it was. But I remember that there's a possibility that I can emerge into some new form of uniqueness and distinction. I'm speaking for you and for me. You can be who you are. And it's not about them. It's about you. And it can't, if you want it to be about them a little, medium, or a lot, it can't be about them until it's about you first. You have to come from your center point, and you have to be in your being for you before you can be real for anyone else. This is not a fake it till you make it thing. This is about turning your awareness inwardly. And the sixth is distinctly about the healing process. The sixth is about the healing process, and Chiron is about the healing process, but Chiron always ignites a process of healing through the raising of awareness, and then responding to what you learn through the raising of awareness, and then going back into the discovery process, and then using what you've learned and what you've discovered. This is the best wake up call in history. So let's see. Continuing in a second. I'm trying to take notes as I go on this to help my producer get the previews right. Okay. Last call. Let's talk about the axis of Leo, your 10th place, and Aquarius, your 4th place. So one of the challenges for a Scorpio is that there really is no sign, with the possible exception of Capricorn, that is so heavily invested not only in family but in what those people think. So it's one thing to like take care of your family and all that, and to love them and appreciate them and all that. It's another thing to have your whole life be governed by what you think they think. But you have that issue quite possibly, that your security, here's another way to look at it. Your security is somehow involved with being accepted, and being accepted can seem to require you to not take too many chances expressing yourself, because you could get rejected. This is a very important complex to be aware of, and to think about the extent to which you might have it. So I'm not meekly suggesting that you like break up with your family, but what I am suggesting is that you remember that you being you can in no way be conditioned upon your concept of whether they will accept you for who you are. Did that come across? It's not up to them. Who you are is up to you. But if you delegate that to this group of the family, you will just basically kind of jip yourself out of your best growth opportunities. Now, fortunately, there's help on the way. And the help on the way is in the form of Pluto having now entered Aquarius to stay. So it was dancing around over your solar fourth house cusp line between Capricorn and Aquarius for a long time, between March of 23 and November of 24. So that's a year and a half transition that it took Pluto to go from Capricorn into Aquarius, back and forth several times, and finally got there. Now it's there. And with the part about the overdependence on the family and the thinking that in some way they have any prerogative or right, whether it's whatever, to determine who you are by your sense of your acceptability. I mean, this is an insidious trap that families put people through and that people fall for. Well, essentially, it comes down to other people not wanting to feel insecure because you're doing something creative and original, or being someone creative, or just plainly being who you are. They all like dogs, and you like cats, and you have a cat. Well, this is a big deal in some places, and any other, they all chow down on organ meat, and you like tofu. Well, that used to be taboo too, and now people are a little bit better about it. You know, your mother may eat blood pudding or head cheese, and she will learn how to make you tofu these days. But then what I'm saying is that it's if you're afraid that if you're vegan and these people are all eating blood, that if you tell them that you're vegan, that you're going to somehow offend them. Then I better not say that I'm vegan. I better not be vegan, whatever the case it may be. Whatever that thing that you fear is some difference between you and them that kind of governs you. Okay, Pluto is a disruptive force. Pluto is going to shake up that social pattern. And further, Pluto is summoning you into a kind of a leadership role within the family group. A leadership role. Where you now are, either whether you're of a certain age or whether you are a certain level of maturity, or whether there have been circumstances in your family that have shifted the relationships in the family by elders passing or something like this, you are now an influential person in the family group, and you get to set the tone of the family group. And I suggest, if that's true, you say to those kids, those little ones running around, it's your life. We are here to support you in being who you are, not to limit you in being who you are for our personal it's because we're insecure. To make us feel better, we're going to limit you, and say, well, Billy, you can't take bass lessons because I was jealous I didn't get to take bass lessons, or whatever bullshit somebody's grandfather told them they would never make a living as a musician. That horror shit. Now turns out it's a pretty darn good way to make a living. But anyway, express your leadership. Take your place. And as part of taking your place, that means you are you. Okay, so that's a little bit about, and I covered this extensively in Scorpio, The Awakening. Other big thing going on now is that we talked about Venus and Mercury being retrograde and blurring all that beautiful line between the 5th and the 6th, between Pisces and Aries. Now simultaneously, we've got Mars making its retrograde here. Mars going out to 6 degrees of Leo. That was, I think, in early December. Mars has come all the way back to 17 degrees of Cancer. That's quite a few degrees. That's 24 something degrees. And then now Mars is making its way back, and soon it's going to cross over Leo. So what is this zone of the chart about? To my long pondered, Barbara Handclaw in a workshop got me hip to this. She said, people want the power and the authority and the influence of the 10th house, but they don't want to study the ethics of the 9th house. They just want to jump right to the power. And then the 8th house is maybe they pick up the investors in the 8th house, and they pick up the business partners in the 7th house, and they pick up the investors in the 8th house. And then they get to the 9th house, which is the discussion of right and wrong. The discussion of what should we really be doing? It's better to know about that before you get the investors. But a lot of selling out happens in the 8th house, and that's why it's so important for the sake of capitalism, for the love of Saint Elon and Saint Bezos and Saint Zuckerberg, that we skip the 8th fucking house, 9th house completely, and go right over the ethics of everything. There are no ethics. fuck the ethics. Who needs ethics? How am I going to make billions and billions of dollars? Billionaires don't think about ethics. Millionaires might think about ethics, but actually thousandaires really are the ones who think about ethics. Mars retrograding back and forth here is saying, okay, how does it really feel? What's really right? What's really wrong? Ooh, this is very similar to the fifth house. What am I really living for? What's really the creative food that feeds my soul? What is it? Well, it's similar to the ninth house. They're both places where there's water. You have water. You're water. Then water comes up again in five, and water comes up again in nine. And if you're air, then air comes up again in five. And in nine, and so forth. It's the way the triplicities work. And this dance here of Mars, your ruling planet, by the way, and Pluto is one of them also, sign of secondary ruling planet. So you've got both of your modern ruler, let's call Pluto the modern ruler of Scorpio. Of all the modern planets, it deserves that. That one kind of works pretty good. Pluto is definitely the modern ruling planet of Scorpio. It's angular, meaning it makes a 90-degree angle to the beginning of Scorpio, and Mars going back and forth here in this inquiry into what actually is right for you, what feels right, what is your actual personal truth, what you know, when you go inside and commune with spirit, which is not easy because everything's on the internet now, which I'm about to leave. Temporarily. I still have to do Virgo, but not tonight. What's right? What's right? That's a question of the ninth house. And so your ruling planet came out to like early enough of Leo into your 10th enough to say, ah, there are some possibilities here. What's going on around here? Oh, there's some territory to conquer. There's goals I have. I'm called to do this. The kitty cat Leo in the 10th is calling me. You can hear that cosmic meow of the Leo 10th house. You know there's a kitty cat there somewhere, and you're going to find her and make sure she has food. And then Mars goes back into the 9th place. Mars goes back into the 9th place for the check, verification of truth, of personal relevance, of spiritual meaning. That's where you are right now. Everything right now is poised with like the arrow pulled all the way back. I have my little Sagittarius coin here, the Chiron return coin. This desk is getting shaggy. This usually goes like right in the middle. But here is I will leave you with this image. We'll go a little bit closer so you can actually see. This is the coin for the Chiron return. I can't catch the light right. There's Mr. Chiron pulling back his arrow. And right now, the arrow is either being pulled back in the form of Mercury and Venus. It is either just released in the form of Mars, which is still only at 18 degrees of Cancer as of this date, or the process about to happen with big movers. I mean, this is a very significant time in history. We've just had a major sign change of Pluto. Let's work our way in. We're going to have a sign change of Neptune. We're about to have a sign change of Uranus. That's in July. We're about to have a sign change of Jupiter. That's in June. We're having multiple sign changes of Venus and Mercury, and we're about to have major sign changes of Neptune and Saturn. That's all of the planets changing signs in the space of 1 year. That's fucking wild. That's all I have to say. Keep it positive. Do the right thing for you. Please tell your cats, your dogs, and your donkeys that Francis of Kingston sends his love. Signing off for Scorpio at 6:09 p.m. on the 7th day of March, 2025. Lots of love, and bye for now.